Well, I wasn't a very good example. Showed up 3 minutes late. I couldn't blame slow traffic or red lights. I thought I had time to make a cup of coffee before I walked out of the house, and that sealed the deal. So I checked the GPS estimated ETA when I got on 222 at Denver. It said 7:18. I thought, oh no. So I messaged Nolan. I don't know if he got my message or not, but I couldn't gain on the GPS. And I might have gotten here at 7:17, except that I took a wrong turn just a mile down the road here for a moment, and then it put me back to 7:18. So, but very glad to be here and talking about a subject that I'm passionate about. And I enjoy congregational singing a lot. I've been involved in congregational singing and choral music for many, many years. And Paul led probably what I would have said for many years was my favorite song. And it was number 16 in the Life Songs. I might have included it here a bit later, but you already did it for us. So, but yeah, I always knew number 16 in the Life Songs from growing up days at Indiantown Mennonite. The number and the song just stuck with me. So, and I walked in the back and sat down and started looking around to see if he was here. And finally, I found him. That's Lamar. So I like to pick on people I know. So there's a few other people that I know here tonight, too. But no, we're not going to sing any solos, Lamar, or any quartets or anything like that. But if I need someone to look up a reference in the scripture, you might do that? All right, good. So we have lots of fun leading New Creation together. So, yes. I did not ask you, Nolan, what you've been doing for the rest of the Winter Bible School. I'm assuming that you've had a few Wednesday nights before this. So were there other topics connected to music, or was it something totally different? So fill me in. Okay. Maybe you did tell me that. I do seem to remember that title. I've done a lot with congregational singing over the years, and so I was trying to figure out how what I've done before fits into the evening here. Somewhere along the line, Nolan picked up that I had some section of instruction called What's He Doing Up There? Meaning, what's the song leader doing up there? And he mentioned that. So I got a little nervous. I went looking through my computer files, and I didn't find anything that had that. And then I went through my file cabinet with file folders and papers from years gone by in it. And I didn't find anything there, so I went back to my computer again. Sure enough, I found a PowerPoint presentation that had that part of it in it. I guess the title wouldn't stand out to me enough. But in any case, I'd like to think tonight about congregational singing and the song leader and how we interact together. I'd like to consider three questions tonight. Well, I'll say right up front, I'm not sure how the time is going to hold out with this, but I think maybe we can get these three done. The first question is, why should we sing? The second question is, how should we sing? And the third question is, what's he doing up there? So let's think a little bit about why we should sing together. We are talking about congregational singing now specifically. And as a teacher, I've made it a practice of getting my students involved in class. So if you were hoping to just sit and relax and listen to me, I might disappoint you a little bit. I have a few things to share, but I want you to talk too. So I'd like you to think and see if you can come up with two reasons why we should sing together in church. Two reasons of why we should sing together in church. Don't say that. Oh, just think of it. If I ask you what would you say? Two reasons that we should sing together in church.
Just
Christianity is lived in community.
Okay, just hang on to that community thing. I want you to share first with some people near you before with the whole group. So with another person, spouse, another couple sitting near you, please share the two things you thought. So just turn around and tell them and see if you came up with the same things. Go ahead. All right, that's good. It seems in school when I get students to do this, then they're more free to talk in front of everyone because now they know they've already said it and they just have to say it a little louder. So this is where I pick on Lamar, just kidding. So what came to your mind? Why should we sing? So we had the idea of community. Someone else. All right, the Bible commands it. Nolan, are there people watching on the live stream? Okay, I will try to remember to repeat the answers so that hopefully they can hear. The Bible commands us to. Good, someone else. Why should we sing together in church?
Worshiping God, singing.
Okay, worshiping God. Okay. Glorifying God, teaching one another.
Encouraging each other.
Draws us into peace at that. And it also helps us to worship. Like coming in the Sunday before service is started.
All right, so it prepares our heart for worship, it prepares our minds for worship, and while we're worshiping too, right? But it just kind of brings us, I hear you saying it brings us, our whole person into a state of being able to hear, or willing to hear. I think you're right about that. I'm not sure if there's anything that prepares our hearts for the truth of God's word like singing does. Together. Someone else? James.
If the sermon, a good song will give congregation response to the sermon.
Okay. Good. If you aren't a song leader, you don't know how agonizing those few minutes can be. Because everybody's expecting that perfect song after the sermon, right? To just tie it all together. And boy, it's just not always there. But yeah, it's great when God brings something to your mind and it just really fits. Song leaders, all song leaders that care about what they do have experienced that. And it's wonderful. And there is just something about that. To just put that last little exclamation point on what the message just was. Singing helps you to remember. Okay. Good. God told Moses to teach the people this song. And he proceeded to give them about a chapter and a half or however many verses of a song. It was a long song. And he said, if you teach them this song, they will not forget it. So it wasn't just a poem, it wasn't a sermon, it wasn't a nursery rhyme, it wasn't just an exposition, it was a song. Because somehow God has designed our mind in its amazing abilities to connect with music or somehow those neurons to be able to store things and retrieve things when it's accompanied with musical pattern for whatever, however that works, I don't know, but yes. Well, I just wrote down four things, and you got two of the four, plus a lot of others, so I expected to have a lot, and those are all wonderful things. I'd like to look at six references, so if you could help me out with six references here. These are not unfamiliar verses, but I thought we would look at them. So someone to look up Zephaniah 3, verse 17. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. You can just raise your hand if you want to. Just indicate that you'll get it somehow. Thank you, Lamar. Zephaniah 3, 17. That was Psalm 149, 1. Psalm 149, 1. Thank you. Romans 15, 9. Romans 15, 9. Thank you, Lamar. Laverne, I said Lamar, right? Laverne. Ephesians 5:19. Ephesians 5:19. Thank you. Colossians 3:16 in the back. That's Colossians 3:16. And one more, Hebrews 2:12. Hebrews 2:12. Thank you, Ryan. The question we're considering is, why should we sing together? Maybe you sing in the shower, maybe you sing in the car, maybe you sing while you're working. Why should we sing together? All right, Zephaniah 3:17. The prophet says, the Lord thy God will joy over thee with singing. The context here is in reference to a remnant of faithful Israelites, I think, a remnant of the people of Israel. And it says, God will rejoice over them, his faithful people, with singing. So I really believe that God sings. I do. And I think he created us, his highest creation, to image him. We talk about being image bearers. I think one of the best ways that we can image God is by singing. And so I think we should sing just because our Creator sings. Psalm 149:1. So in the Old Testament, the people of God were commanded to praise him, praise God together in the congregation of the saints, not just while they were working out in the field or at home, but together corporately when they gathered. Romans 15, verse 9. So I looked at the context here, not going to expound onto it, but it seems here that singing can be a testimony to others. It says here that the Gentiles might glorify God. And how is it going to happen? It's going to happen because I'm going to confess you among the Gentiles. So I'm going to speak of the Lord, and I'm going to sing unto thy name. And so I think our singing together as believers is a testimony of who God is, a testimony of his faithfulness. Ephesians 5:19, a familiar verse. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Who are we singing to?
The Lord.
And to? Yourselves. Who's that? Speaking to yourselves in psalms. So I think that's the teaching, the encouraging, perhaps admonishing to ourselves. Maybe even a song might admonish us as we sing it, and to one another, and to the Lord, ultimately. Colossians 3:16.
Let
So I take here we are singing from the fullness of the word of Christ dwelling in us. It starts out with, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, fully. And out of that, we teach and admonish. How? With our singing. So I think a component of singing together corporately that maybe we don't always think about. Finally, Hebrews 2 and verse 12. This is another verse. I didn't have time to kind of dig out the total context there. So maybe those of you who like to do verse studies and things should look that up. It is talking about Christ there in that passage. And it's a reference to a prophecy from the Old Testament saying, I will declare thy name. So the writer of Hebrews pulls a prophecy out of the Old Testament. I was a little unclear whether it's Jesus saying, I will declare thy name, meaning I will declare my Father's name, or if it was just someone, one of the saints, one of the believers there. In any case, where was the song going to be? Yeah, in the midst of the church will I sing unto thee. So our Creator sings, He's commanded us to, we heard it there. Did Jesus sing? So they sang a hymn, right? And then went where? They went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where perhaps the greatest battle of all time was to be fought. And I was thinking about this as our devotional was going on. We mentioned standing still and not being afraid, and I thought you were going to add, and sing. And he didn't, but I think singing is one of the best things to do in the face of the battle. I don't think Satan likes it. And I think we should, I think, yes. Yes, yeah. We don't often sing quietly or silently. I mean, you might hum a tune in your head. I don't know if you sing in your head or not. But often when we sing out loud. I don't know how many of you pray out loud. Last week I taught on the topic, the nature of Satan at Lichty's, filling in for somebody, and I would have been there tonight if you hadn't already asked me to be here. But Satan is not God, right? He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent, and I don't believe he knows what we are thinking. But I do think that if he's here, he will hear us. If he's not here, perhaps his messengers are here, and when they hear us speak the truth, I think it's powerful. And I think singing in the face of the battle is a weapon against Satan. It might be the battle of discouragement. It might be the, I don't know what the battle is. It might be an individual battle, but if you're sitting corporately as a church and there's a battle going on inside, don't let that battle close your mouth. All right? In faith, sing in the face of the battle. I'll never forget singing along with the senior class in Grenada in 2014 after Jared Gaiman had drowned. It was an awful situation. The night of, we didn't know what to do. And we gathered in the chapel there at the Limes and just sang. And it was powerful. So singing in the heat of the battle, and then watch God work. Stand still. Jehoshaphat and the armies of Judah saw it happen, right? God says, put the singers up front. It says the moment they began to sing, the Lord began to fight. And a mighty victory was won. I think that singing together creates a picture of the nature and the character of God. And we talked about community. God is a triune being, triunity, three in one. And there's just something about joining voices together where I know maybe for a period of time harmony was looked down on. Maybe they thought you were proud if you sing another part. But there's just something about singing together, lifting up the voices, whether it's in unison or in parts, just the interwovenness, the beauty, the unity, it just speaks of the character and the beauty of God himself. And the more that we invest in it and sing together, it can happen. It doesn't have to be perfect to be that at all. When you can sing parts and everything, you add that dimension. But the beauty of singing together in community, I think, is just such a powerful picture of our God. Music, singing teaches us. I had that down and y'all hit on that one. So singing together teaches us things. If we think about what we're singing, right? Do you ever get done with a song and say, wait a minute, I never even thought about what I just sang? So we do need to be careful about trying to make it sound too... We can get caught up, especially those of us who love singing and the beauty of music, can just get caught up in the beauty of it all. And we need those who will say, wait a minute, did you think about what you just sang? Maybe someone who can't sing as well, and they just listened and thought about what was just sung. So singing teaches us. Yeah. Second question, how should we sing? How should we sing? What do you think? I'm looking for your response here. You may give this directly. So, how should we sing? Enthusiastically. Joyfully. Noise is usually thought of as being loud, right? Okay. Loud and joyful. Okay, good, with understanding. 1 Corinthians, since you mentioned it, 1 Corinthians 14:15, where Paul's addressing the spiritual gifts, the sign gift of tongues, he says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. And then he follows it up and says, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I don't know exactly what all Paul meant by that, but I think part of it has to be, I'm going to sing inside, okay? I'm going to sing in my spirit, and I'm going to sing outside too. I'm going to turn it into words, into understanding that communicates. He's talking about the inability of an unknown tongue or unknown language to edify. And said, that's why I'm going to speak in I'd rather you speak 10 words in an understandable language than 1,000 in something that the people don't understand. And he just follows it right up and says, I'm going to sing with the understanding. So singing on the inside, singing on the outside, singing with the Spirit, and singing with understanding. How else should we sing?
Sincerely.
All right. Sincerely. Is sincerely the same as enthusiastically? I was just going to mention that one for comparison, so our minds went to the same place. Yeah, very good. So allowing the nature of the text to inform how we sing it. Good. Anyone else? Something come to your mind? How should we sing? I imagine a prison like that to be made of a lot of really hard surfaces, but I don't know if it was a dungeon type of place with dirt floor, it might have echoed really well in there. All right, so I asked the first question as why should we sing together, and I didn't ask this one as how we should sing together. Because I wanted that to be one of the answers. How should we sing? We should sing together. And that forms a bridge for us into our third question, which is, what in the world is he doing up there? Right. Well, the whole purpose of the song leader is to try to help us sing how? Sing together. Before we go there, though, when God looks down at us singing, what does he see? On Sunday morning, what does he see? Song leaders see a lot from the podium, just like preachers do. Boy, sometimes I just want to stop in the middle of the song. Say, did your best friend just die or what? Now, there might just be a really difficult time going on right now. Yeah, so what does God see? He sees our face. He sees our heart. Yes. So he sees if we're singing sincerely. He sees if we're just singing because that's what we do. How do we show that we value singing as a church? What do you think? I thought about this one some. How does a church congregation demonstrate that they value singing?
Participation.
All right, good. Participation.
We sing like we're alive, passionate.
Okay. Passionate, lively singing. I really think we show the value for it by those, all right, and by maybe what we allow to happen while we're singing. So I really think we ought to be careful about too many people just walking in and out of the church while we're singing. I watch it all the time, and we're just distractible human beings. So we're already having a hard enough time focusing on what we're singing. Without too many other distractions. So I think we show our value for it by eliminating the unnecessary distractions so people can sing, so we can focus on it. I have participation, so we said that right away. It's how we show that we value it. We don't just sing because we need a song after Sunday school, do we? So that the line gets done at the bathroom, or so we have something to do while we wait for the real reason we're together, which is the sermon. Or is it? So I really think we should think about how we value that part of our service. It was a big deal to God in the Old Testament. I won't get into that. But the New Testament doesn't mention too much about it. And so God didn't give us much instruction, except he says we should sing to one another, to ourselves, and to him. And I think with the value that he placed on it in the temple worship, I think we should think about that as a part of our worship too. It's not just how we start the service. There's a reason we do it. We should do it with passion. Yeah. Okay. And we do our singing without musical instruments because the Bible forbids it, right? Yeah, we all know the answer to that, I think. So I can't find where the New Testament says you shouldn't do it. Of course, we know there was lots of instrumental music in the Old Testament as part of the temple worship. So I don't think we can make this into a moral issue. We have to be careful about that. But we've chosen to do it this way. And I think there's good reason to do it this way. And I think we should keep it this way. It doesn't mean that I can't go into with another body of believers somewhere and worship for real if they choose to do it a different way. But I think there's something that we have here. There's a way that, as we said, it images as we sing together without competing with other noisemakers. We use just the instrument that God made and to lift our voices together. So I do really, really appreciate and value the tradition, the choice that we've made to sing a cappella in church. And I hope we can do whatever we can to help that to continue and to help our younger people and all to understand it, to appreciate it, to value it as well. All right, so what's his job and what's my job? What's he doing up there anyways? I think I was made a song leader when I was 16 first at Faith Mennonite Fellowship. I was a junior in high school, and I've been singing, leading songs in church kind of on and off, but more often than not ever since through the year. And I still love doing it, right? And I love seeing people sing and sing from their heart and find God, hear God, see God in the music, in the text. So what am I doing up here to try to help all of this happen that we're talking about? You see, for many years, the song leader didn't stand up here in our Anabaptist setting. He sat at a table. Maybe it was more than one. And someone just started the song. And maybe they thought it was some prideful thing to stand up front and act like you know what you're doing. I don't know. I think there was a sense that we're all on the same level. Even the minister didn't stand on a pulpit for much time until we finally got raised pulpits. Somebody around Lichty's didn't like that idea and took off with the pulpit, if you know that story. I was just reading The Earth is the Lord's, some excerpts from it for a chapel I was working on. So I read some of that story, just a really interesting story. But anyways, so the song leader stands up here now. And so what is he doing? What's his purpose? What's his job? What's my job? So I think my job, if I'm leading the song, is to do whatever I can to try to help the congregation to have a meaningful time of singing, to have a meaningful time of to worship while they're singing. Now, as we said, you can lead the horse to the water, right? But you can't make them drink unless you salt the feed or whatever it was. But, you know, when you worship, you do have to do it individually. No one here can worship for someone else. And so, as a song leader, I'm hoping that I can help to prepare a context, to prepare a circumstance that will make it easier for everyone to worship and to hear the Lord, to see the Lord. So, what are the various parts of what we do? And this is probably where we're going to get stuck in the middle of it here, and we'll pick up and finish and practice a little bit next time. Maybe we should practice just a little bit tonight too. Nolan, is it 8:20? Am I remembering correctly? All right. So what is he doing up there? I have three parts to this. So if you're following the outline, I'm on the third major point of the outline. It was why should we sing together? How we should sing together, and then what's the song leader's job? So here we are, main point number three, and I have three parts under here. The first part I have is getting the song started, so we'll talk about that, and then keeping the song going, we'll talk about that, And finally, what about body language and posture? Song leader and congregation. So those are the three things I have marked down here. I'm sure this is not exhaustive. So getting the song started. Let's turn to a song. Take your church hymnal and go to song number 30. No, let's go to a more upbeat one, 445. While you're turning there, the passage from the devotional reminded me of a song that the ladies in our high school gospel team sang when I was in school, about when I was a junior, so about when I was 16 or 17. They sang a song called Stand Still and See the Glory of the Lord. I think it was just called Stand Still. Maybe some of you remember it. Anyways, that reminded me of going to Fairmount Rest Home to sing that year. And we were singing to the old folks there, and during the interlude between two songs, one of the residents, if you've been in nursing home services, you know what they can be like, and one of the residents pipes up from back behind, "That guy's nuts!" referring to the director. We just about lost it. It was so funny. It was Ray Weaver was directing at that point, and you happen to know Ray. But any case, so what is the guy doing? You know, is he just nuts up there? What's that cookie that he puts in his mouth? Stories about children asking what the thing is, you know? So number one, getting the song started. What's the purpose of the pitch pipe? So I won't ask if you have any song leaders that don't use a pitch instrument, but you've probably all been in settings where they didn't. And you've experienced what can happen when you do that. So what's the purpose of having the pitch pipe? Well, you want to sing the song in a range of pitches that is comfortable for most people to sing. The human voice has its limitations. The sopranos can only sing so high, and everyone for that matter, especially Sunday morning when the voices are really rusty, just waking up yet and all. And so the pitch instrument is to try to sing the song in a range of pitches where we can do it comfortably, because listen, we don't want to be distracted. And when the song is getting high, or you realize it's going to get high and you're just waiting to see if anybody can actually continue the song, you aren't thinking an ounce about what you're singing. So the purpose for the pitch pipe isn't just to be fancy, and it's to actually start it in a range where it's not too low, not too high, but nice right in the middle where we can sing well together. And the signs at the beginning of the song tell the song leader how to do that. This isn't a music theory class, but the three number symbols or sharp signs, things that look like number signs, there are pound signs, are the signs that tell the song leader what to do with the pitch, all right, pitch pipe or whatever. So we start the song in an appropriate pitch, so that you can sing without that distraction, so you can sing well with the voice God gave you, hopefully. I teach song leaders to find the pitch, which is going to be the home note or the do in the song, the tonic, whatever you want to call it, the pitch off which all the rest are based, the scale is based. I teach them to find that pitch with whatever instrument that they're going to use, and then to hum the same pitch. People have difficulty matching to these things. So, and then maybe to the start of the melody line. The reason that is so that you all can hum too, okay? So now, why would I want you to hum first? So that you can sing the first word. And the first note, yeah, it's one of the reasons, okay? So I really want the congregation to hum. I want to hear it, okay? Well, I want them to be in a habit of, And just like that, if you're trained, the basses find their note, the altos find their note, and all that. And when the song leader gives the cue, you're ready to go. And that's what else he's doing up there. So he gives a cue not only with his voice, but with his hand as well. Side light here. Any of you know any songs that just kind of habitually get sung too high and started too high and then it just is awful? Any of you know any songs because you've heard it happen enough times? Nolan, do you remember any? Yes. All right. How about "They That Wait Upon the Lord Shall Renew Their Strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run." Okay, you get to "They Shall Run." And, you know, song leaders just almost without fail start that song too high. And right, you know, with my experience, when they start, I was like, oh my, here we go. How bad is this going to crash when we get there? So it is important to have some way of knowing. Some people can do it well without a pitch instrument. Some people just don't know where that pitch is supposed to be. So you really need to rely on that. All right. So we have just enough time to talk about the motions, the gesture of the director of the song leader to help us start how? Together. Yeah. How should we sing? We should sing together. So the song leader is going to give two motions to cue us to sing together. One, well, maybe three. The hand going up is a sure sign that we're just about to sing. So the song leader should raise his hand in advance. It's not lean, you know, bring the hand out of nowhere and start. So the hand should be up here. So that's a cue to you that the song leader is just about ready. And then when he's really ready, his hand's just going to give a little bit of a motion like this, which is a double motion. Okay, it's his own sign to himself to breathe. Okay, so that he breathes, and it should be a sign to you to breathe also. And if you breathe, and then you are ready with the very first motion, which says sing, whether usually a downward type of motion. All right, so a trained congregation will hear the pitch, they'll hum the pitch, they'll look at the first word, and then they'll look up. You know what to sing, all right? We just need to look up to sing the first note together. And then your eyes can go back down again. So we hum. Good, I didn't tell you to start and you did it. So that was the breath, y'all took a breath and you were just waiting for what a fellowship. All right, now let's do it. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, meaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, meaning on the everlasting arms. Little Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Were you ready? She was. All right. So get the song going and then keep it going is the second one. Let me see if I have any other notes here on getting the song started. So we'll talk about the other cues, but that are used along the way. So it's not that hard. We are such lazy people and habitual. And it's just really hard to sing that very first word, maybe especially in the morning. But after you work at it, it's not so hard. And so if you try to be intentional about it, you can do it. It doesn't take a super singer to be able to sing the very first word, the very first note, all together with the song leader. And it sounds so nice. Then when you get, you know, you hear the song leader sing one word himself, and then you have about 10 more people in the second one. And finally, by the third word, everybody's voice is in there. So I don't think it's just for choirs to do. I really think we ought to be able to just start right in and sing together. If we're going to put the song leader up there, then let's follow and sing together. So getting the song started, humming, looking up for the breath cue and the start cue. We'll talk more about the gesture in keeping the song going, body language and posture next time, and then we'll do some singing. And I'd really like for the song leaders that are here to come prepared to lead at least one. So I don't know how many song leaders are here that would come on a... now they're all going to stay home next time. So... a different one? Oh, wow. All right. So maybe I should let Nolan appoint you. He can make up a list and say, okay, Lamar, you're next. No. So song leaders, I hope you're listening. This isn't a song leader training session, but if your congregation is going to follow someone, they need someone to follow. The last week at Lichty's, the song leader wanted to sing "My Jesus, I Love Thee," not according to the tenor of the song, I didn't think. He just gets tired of singing too slow, which I've experienced at Lichty's some too. So he decided he's going to sing it fast, but I think he tried just too fast. And he had such a hard time with it. And it wasn't worshipful really at all, because it wasn't really the tenor of the song. But the point is that he wanted to lead, and the people just were not going along with this. So if you want someone to follow, then you have to make sure to follow them. And we'll get some practice with that, and give some of you all that lead singing here on a regular basis a chance to interact with those ideas together with your congregation. All right. Well, thanks for coming out tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. And Lord willing, I'll be back with you all next Wednesday, and I think Lindell will be along next Wednesday as well.